All right, brethren, let's turn to Isaiah 54 and also go ahead and mark Genesis chapter 6. We'll begin in Isaiah 54. Now, this is the Lord speaking. This is coming after Isaiah 53, where Christ, as the substitute of his people, laid down his life. He says in verse 5, "Thy maker is thy husband," speaking to the church. "The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called." And he says down in verse 8, this is where our text begins, he says to the church, "In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." Now, God saves his people by covenant, by everlasting covenant grace. And that covenant's fulfilled entirely by our triune God in Christ. He left nothing in the hands of his people. It's entirely fulfilled by the triune God in Christ. Those that God chose, he chose by grace. He chose who he would save in Christ. And Christ came forth and redeemed his people, and the Spirit's calling them out. And it's because Christ entered covenant to fulfill everything required. Everything. He put the whole work, the Father put the whole work into Christ's hand. And he came forth to fulfill all conditions for God and for his people. And so, since Christ bore that wrath of God and satisfied justice for his people, this is his promise. This is his covenant promise to those he calls to him. He says in verse 8, "With everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." Now, in this passage, God compares his everlasting covenant that he makes in the hearts of the believer. He compares it to the waters of Noah, the covenant he made concerning the waters of Noah. He said in verse 9, "This is as the waters of Noah unto me. As I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn. I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee." Now I want to consider Noah and the ark first. Now let's go over to Genesis chapter 6. And I want to be as simple as I can be for those that are yet to be called in to Christ. I want you to hear this. I want to be simple, and that's how God's people want it. We want the message to be simple. Now, God called Noah by grace and shut him up in the ark by grace. Now, look at verse 5, Genesis 6, 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." You know, he's speaking in language we can understand. This was no surprise to God. But God was determined, he purposed here to destroy the world. He says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Now this is what God saw then. It's what God sees now. It's what he saw then, it's what he sees now. This is due to the fall in Adam, but this is what he saw then, this is what he sees now. Verse 5 said, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And he looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. He said, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And man hasn't changed. That's so then, that's so now. The thoughts, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Noah was a sinner just like every other fallen son of Adam. He was a sinner like all the rest of them. In his flesh, there was no difference in Noah than the rest of the sinners on the earth. There's no difference in any fallen son of Adam, no difference in us, no difference in our sin nature. So who makes the difference? The difference is the difference that God's grace makes. It says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord looked upon Noah and gave him grace. Undeserved, demerited, in spite of Noah, God had grace on Noah. He provided salvation for Noah in the ark. Now look at verse 17, Genesis 6, 17. He says, and behold, I, God is speaking, even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee, speaking to Noah, he says, but with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. God says, I will establish my covenant with thee. What's that going to take? How's God going to establish his covenant with Noah? Look at Genesis 7 and look at verse 16. And they went in male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord called Noah effectually. Noah entered the ark, and God closed the door. God shut him in. God shut him in. And then the waters came down. The floods came down. He broke up the waters from beneath. It had never rained up to that point. That's that. You know, men today don't believe God's going to rain justice and judgment upon the earth because it's kind of like in Noah's day. Nobody had ever seen it rain. And Noah was preaching righteousness, declaring to the people judgment's coming. Nobody believed him. It had never rained. But when he shut Noah in the ark, not until then, when he called Noah in the ark, he rained down justice in the form of a flood. It came down upon the ark, the rains, he broke up the depths from beneath, the waters came up, that ark was surrounded with the flood of God's judgment. Entirely. The whole world, when that took place, the whole world was justly judged by God at that time, including Noah. They were all justly judged at that time. Look at Genesis 7 and look at verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. God justly killed all living things in Noah's day. All men died in Noah's day because all had sinned against God. It was just. God's justice demands the soul that sinneth, it must die. And all died that day. All died. All were under the curse of God. But Noah and those that were with him in the ark, not one drop of God's justice fell on them. Not on them personally. It all fell on the ark. And they were safe inside the ark. But in type, in ceremony, in type, Noah died just like the rest of them did. And according to God's mind and purpose, Noah died that day in that ark, just like the rest of them did. But because Noah was in the ark, he lived. He was in the ark and he lived. God's justice was satisfied towards Noah when that justice fell on the ark instead of on him. And yet it fell on everybody outside of the ark. It fell on everybody. But Noah was in the ark, and those that were with him lived. You know what happened when Christ went to the cross? You remember what he said when he was going to the cross? If you want to look there, hold your place in Genesis and look at John chapter 12. This is what the Lord said when he went, when he was going to the cross, John 12, verse 30. Jesus answered and said, the Lord had spoken, and he said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." Now listen to what Christ said. "Now is the judgment of this world." The whole world. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." He's going to be defeated. His head's about to be crushed, Christ said. "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The whole world was judged when Christ was judged on the cross. The whole world was. Just like the whole world was judged when that flood fell that day in Noah's day. The whole world was judged. Here's the difference. Here's the difference. Christ bore the justice of God, and his people were in him. All the elect of God were in Christ, and that justice fell on Christ, and we died in him. But like Noah, God's elect were judged in Christ. Just like he was judged in the ark, we were judged in Christ. Noah included, judged in Christ. Justice is satisfied because justice fell on Christ and he died. He bore it. He made each one the righteousness of God in him. Each one that were in him by God's grace, he made the righteousness of God in him. And now, Christ is risen. He said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all to me." He's drawing all those the Father gave him. He's drawing all those he redeemed by his blood, all those he made righteous. And he shall draw everyone to him and give them faith and shut us up in the ark. He's going to shut us up in the ark by faith to believe on him. And in the last day of judgment, God's going to declare publicly all those who were in Christ when he died. All his people who are standing there believing on him, trusting him, he's going to be our advocate. He's going to speak for his people and declare justice is satisfied for them. And everybody that's outside of Christ, everybody that is not believing on Christ, the reign of God's justice will fall for eternity. But those trusting Christ, when we believe Christ, we're confessing, "I believe I was in him when he died. I believe there's no goodness in me. I deserve the wrath of God, but God judged me in Christ." That's all my hope. That's all my salvation. He judged me in Christ. He made me righteous in him. And that's what Christ is going to declare when he vindicates all his people in that day. He's going to say, "These are mine. These are mine. They're righteous. From the moment they were conceived till they drew their last breath, there was no sin in them." Why? Because from the time Christ assumed the body in the womb of the virgin to the last breath, there was no sin in him. And he put away the sin of his people, and he's the righteousness of his people. Isn't that good news? Oh, that's good news. I pray Christ would call one of his people tonight and make them come into the ark by faith and believe on him and rest in him. And you that know him, I pray he keep us looking nowhere but to him. Remember what he said in John? Come to me. You do the will of the Father. You come to me. You'll know the doctrine. You'll know. This is how he's going to assure our hearts. You remember that day that when he was speaking to the Samaritan woman and the apostles had gone into town and they'd got some food and they come back. Why didn't they hear what Christ was saying to them? They weren't looking at him. They came bodily to him, but at that moment, they weren't coming to Christ and listening to Christ and hearing Christ and looking to Christ by faith. They were looking at that woman, marveling that he was talking to that woman, and they didn't hear anything he said. But for her, there was nobody around but just her and him. That's what he's going to make his people do in every stormy wind that blows. He brings us to him to where there's nobody but us and him. That's when we know the doctrine. That's when we hear him. He's got to turn us from everything else. Bring us to him. Bring us into the ark. That's what I pray. Now let's see God's covenant promise to his believing child. And he's going to compare it to his covenant with Noah. Now look back there in Genesis 8 and look at verse 21. Let's look at the covenant he made to Noah first, then we'll go here back to our text and see what he said. Genesis 8, and look at verse 21. Now, when Noah comes out of the ark, and I'll tell you something, I haven't looked at this in a long time. I was talking to Brother Marvin about this. We were talking about that period of time from when the rain ceased until the flood subsided and Noah could actually come out of that ark. That was a long trial for Noah. But that's another message. Let's look here now. Genesis 8, 21. He comes out and he makes an altar and he offers sacrifices to God. It's a picture of believing Christ, being thankful to God for his son and for satisfying justice for us. So you get the picture. He's come out of the flood now. Justice is satisfied and here he is offering sacrifices to God, believing God. Now watch, it says, and God smelled, verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. That sweet savor is Christ. God is satisfied with his people that believe on his son, rest in Christ. He's satisfied for the sake of Christ. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. He's saying that's not going to change. It's going to be the same from here on. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. No doubt in my mind, this is one of the reasons for all of this talk about trying to save the world and that everything's going to be destroyed is to destroy a scripture just like this. I don't know how God's going to burn this earth up, but I know man's not going to save it. Everything we touch, we corrupt. We already pollute in outer space. Everything we touch, we corrupt. And we're not going to save ourselves by our own hand. But God's going to hold it in store because that's his covenant. He made that covenant with Noah. Now look at Genesis 9 and look at verse 8. And the reason, see, if that can be destroyed, then this everlasting covenant can be questioned too. And that's the whole purpose of the wickedness that's behind all this saving the earth business is to try to put a question mark on God's word and a question mark on his everlasting covenant. But now watch what God says. Genesis 9, verse 8. And God spake to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. That's God's covenant with Noah, and God established it. It's established by God. God established his covenant with his elect, just like he did with Noah. God established it. And so he established this covenant with Noah. And God entered covenant with Noah, and with all living flesh, the earth will never again be destroyed by a flood. Now, that's a picture, and he compares the covenant he makes in the hearts of his children that he brings to faith in Christ. He compares it to this covenant with Noah. Now, go back to our text. Hold your place in Genesis. We may come back, but go to Isaiah 54. So that's the covenant he made. And he says, Isaiah 54:7, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee." That's the covenant God makes in Christ. He says, with great mercies he shall gather all his people in Christ, bringing each one to faith in Christ. They must be brought. Christ satisfied justice. He won't pour out justice a second time on his people. Each one must be brought to faith in Christ and kept believing Christ. He will not allow one to fall away. They must be found in the ark in that last day in Christ. And the covenant he makes with every believer is, since our justice is forever satisfied, fully, totally, completely satisfied by Christ, he says, "With everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." That's God who cannot lie. Everlasting kindness, with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you. And he confirms it with an oath. He says, he will no more be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. The Lord rebukes as far as chastening goes in correcting his child, because he will not allow one for whom Christ died to be condemned with this world. He will correct and chasten his child and keep us looking only to Christ, trusting only Christ. He will do that so that we're not condemned with the world. But he will not do it in wrath. He does it in love, everlasting kindness, and mercy. He's given the strongest assurance we can have in it. What is it? Look to Calvary's cross. Christ bore the fierce fury of God's wrath, the anger of God's wrath. And he says to his people, I will not be angry with you. I won't be wroth with you. He will not. And thy Redeemer swears by his everlasting covenant grace that with everlasting kindness he will have mercy on you. He says he'll no more be angry with you nor rebuke thee so as to condemn you. It'll never happen towards one that he's brought to faith in Christ. It'll never happen. Even to those he hasn't brought to faith in Christ, he's satisfied his wrath in Christ. But the Lord's covenant is even better than his covenant with Noah. He said, this is as the waters of Noah to me. I won't be wrath with you. I won't. Just like he promised he wouldn't destroy the earth with a flood, he says, I won't be angry with my people. I'm going to be merciful and everlasting kindness to them. But it's better. He said to Noah, he said, as long as the earth remaineth, this is my covenant with you. But his covenant to us is, look at verse 10, Isaiah 54:10. He said, the mountains shall depart, even when the earth's gone. The hills will be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. He won't do it. He will not. He says forever, forever, forever. That's Christ is eternal God, and he accomplished eternal redemption. He satisfied God eternally. And so God promises his people everlasting kindness. When the hills are gone and the earth's removed, it'll still be with God's people. And we have an assurance that's better than Noah's assurance. Back there in Genesis 9, let me just look at this real quick. God put a bow in the cloud. Genesis 9:12. God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, an ever-living creature that's with you for perpetual generations. Till the long as the earth lasts, I do set my bow in the cloud, a rainbow. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." We see it, but more importantly, God sees it. God sees it. When you look at a rainbow in the sky, think on this. When you're looking at a rainbow in the sky, God says, "I see it. I'm looking at it," God said. That's pretty amazing. God says, "I see it." While you're looking at it, God says, "I'm looking at it. I see it." And what does God do? "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, an ever-living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and ever-living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." You know what I like about that? You and I don't see every rainbow. And sometimes there can be a rainbow right inside of us, and we don't see it. God says, "I look upon it. I see it. And I remember my covenant." There may come a day when you can't see Christ, when you don't know Christ, because your mind is gone. God says, "I see him. I look upon him. And I remember my covenant." God said to Noah, "This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." That rainbow has seven colors. That's the number of perfection. They're trying to say otherwise about that now, too. But it has seven colors because seven's the number of perfection. And God's covenant's always perfect. And we have a perfect covenant, but it's not in a cloud. He's seated at God's right hand. In Isaiah 49, verse 8, God said this concerning Christ. "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I've heard thee, in a day of salvation have I helped thee." When he satisfied justice, he said, "And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth to them that are in darkness, show yourselves, they'll feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places." That covenant there is Christ. God raised him. And he raised him to his right hand. He's the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the covenant seated with God, better than a rainbow. And you know, John, you read those angels, and there was a mighty angel that John saw in Revelation 10. It's the angel. That mighty angel had one foot on the earth and one foot on the sea, meaning this mighty angel is ruling everything. And he had the book in his hand. And later, that same angel calls the two witnesses my witnesses. He says, "They're my witnesses." That mighty angel is Christ. And you know what John beheld when he beheld him? He said, all about him, he was clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. He's the covenant that was typified in that rainbow in Noah's day. Perfect perfection. Perfect satisfaction with God. Perfect acceptance with God. Never, ever to be altered or changed whatsoever. Somebody said a rainbow, it's like an archer's bow. You know, it looks like a bow, but it doesn't have an arrow in it. And it's because when you look at Christ and you see him, just remember, he shot the arrow of his wrath and justice into Christ for his people, and it's satisfied. And when you see that bow empty without an arrow in it, no, justice is satisfied. Remember, justice is satisfied. And that's the assurance we have in Christ. So he says to us in verse 10, Isaiah 54:10, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed." One day he's coming again. When the last one's called into Christ, just like when he shut Noah up in the ark with his family and two of all living creatures, when that was done, there's all kinds of sinners, just like there was all kinds of creatures called into that ark. There's all kinds of sinners God's going to save. But when the last one's called into Christ, God's going to take his hand off this world. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but it's going to not be drowned in a flood, but it's going to burn up. And everything in it, and all the works in it. And that day of judgment, the only ones that are going to be saved from wrath are the ones that were judged in Christ at Calvary. That's all my hope. That's all your hope that believe in him. That faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. We're resting in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, if you want to see what our inheritance is, read the rest of Isaiah 54. He tells us. He's going to set every living stone. He says there that all the children are going to be taught of him. That's a great blessing to us because this gospel is not going to fail. He's going to call out and teach all his people. He says there, in righteousness, each one's going to be established, and no waster is going to hurt his people. He created them, and nobody's going to hurt his people. And he says there, no tongue is going to be able to condemn us. He says, thou shalt condemn them. Those that rise in judgment, thou shalt condemn. And he says, this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Vengeance belongs to him. And one day he's going to vindicate all his people and show, these are mine. I saved them. No matter what hell says about us, no matter what the devil says, no matter what anybody else says, he's going to say, these are mine. I vindicate them. I vindicate them. Now, if you don't believe on Christ, anybody here that doesn't believe on Christ, look at Isaiah 55:3. He says, incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sheer mercies of David. He says, this is the proof that he did this, and this is how you know. You can't do anything but believe him. And by his grace, once he brought you to believe him, you can't not believe him. Can you stop believing Christ? I know we're full of unbelief, and I know that there's a lot of unbelief in us. But you can't stop trusting him. You can't stop believing him. And he's going to keep his people believing him. And that everlasting covenant, this sure covenant, is what he makes. So that everybody believes him, says with David, although it be not so with my house, he's made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation. This is all my salvation. Though he make it not to grow, though he's taking me out of here, David said, but this is my salvation. It's yes and amen in Christ. I pray God bless that to our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for this word. We pray that you'd be pleased to shut up your people in the ark. Make us rest in these sure mercies. Make us know that you're protecting us, that your justice is satisfied, that there's everlasting kindness for your people. Lord, make us know what that means. Make us understand that it's always right to be gracious and try to help one another to Christ, to lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the weary knees. And where you've granted repentance to your people, Lord, help one another to rest entirely in Christ, assured of this everlasting covenant promise. Thank you, Lord, for sure things. Thank you for something that is sure in this world. Help us look to Christ. Help us look nowhere but to Christ. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Thank you for your preserving grace. We pray for our young people. We pray for those that don't yet know you that you're going to call. We pray for those that do, that are struggling. Lord, we pray you would help us, keep us, make good on your covenant promise to us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.